Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, kicking off hour number two of The Home Team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future,
hey,
elevated.
By the way, they've got that game six of the 2011 World Series on the MLB Network now.
Is that the one, the Cardinals and Rangers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you look down in the bottom left corner, they'll let you know what happened.
Well, you know what? Then I'm going to stick with Danielle Collins and Amanda Anisimova. In a match that is currently live, so I do not know the result of it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you were watching an old episode of Dynasty.
Oh,
that's
no.
Joan Collins.
That's, yeah,
Joan Collins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is, for me, I think this is the most exciting big league game I ever watched.
The 2011 Game 6?
I think it was. Just the ups and downs. Obviously, the Mets-Red Sox Game 6 was something, and earlier that fall, the Angels-Red Sox Game 6, when the Angels were a strike away. But, yeah, to have the Cardinals, they were basically doomed twice and to rally back there. I think this gets my number one vote.
Even over 84 Braves-Padres?
Well, that's the best brawl ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole game, though. I mean, they were brawling basically for the whole game. It started the night before.
It did.
Just carried over.
I'm trying to think. Did Pasquale hit Champ Summers? Is that right? Or was it Bavacqua, maybe?
Well, Bavacqua was the one that ran across the field, right? And Bob Horner stepped
came
in.
Came out with that club of an arm.
Yeah.
Because Pasquale went running.
But I thought they were mad the night before because maybe the Padres hit someone. I mean, it carried over, I think, but
it was a classic. Just
Alan Wiggins had gotten hit too, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just a classic middle of summer. I'm sure it was 110 degrees that day.
They were division rivals back then, so Lord knows what game number that was that they were playing against each other.
Right, and it just – so you got the build up from the night before, and that was a Sunday afternoon. So, that's it. It's getaway day after this. We're brawling.
Yeah. We're going to get away from you.
It was a let's just say the wick on the firecracker was really short.
All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Last hour I mentioned how I'd gone down this rabbit hole of looking at NFL team playoff droughts and just who's the last player to score a touchdown for a team in the NFL postseason. The thing about the NFL is every team in the league except for three has been to the playoffs since at least 2015, so the longest drought is 4 years with the exception of the Clowns, the Bucks, and the Jets, which makes sense. You do have there are five other teams, though, while they have been to the postseason more recently, they have not won a playoff game in quite some time. The Bengals, it's been 29 seasons.
Buffalo.
It's been 28 for the Lions, 24 for the Bills, 22 for Cleveland, and 19 for the Miami Dolphins. So the question is with these NFL playoff droughts, first of all, between Cleveland, Tampa, and the Jets, is there any hope for either of those teams to make the postseason this year? Who wins it the earliest?
I've got to go with Tampa. They've got Tampa Brady there.
Okay. And I see they are working out together in groups. Brady's organizing some group workouts.
I just hope he shows up at the right house.
Yeah. The Clowns are going to have some hype this year, too, I think. But the Jets are just nothing, right?
No, I don't think that. Chris, when you and I did our 7 in, 5 out, which we have to do differently now because there's a different playoff team, or excuse me, an extra playoff team on each side going in, we both had Cleveland going in. So I had both Cleveland and Tampa in.
Okay.
So I think they both.
So you've got them both ending it this year. So then
correct.
With Cleveland, do they win a game and end their 22-year postseason victory drought?
I think their best shot is to be kind of sitting there in the middle and have it be in a good snowy day. Although the thing is, I was going to say, sometimes it's to your advantage if you're talking about winning one, if all you want is a playoff win, not to get the bye. But since only the team with the best record's getting the bye this year, they ain't getting that. So I think they'd be in a toss-up spot. I think Tampa will have a crack, too.
So then you got Cincinnati just had the number one pick and picked Joe Burrow. It's been 29 years Ooh. Since they've won a playoff game. What would you set the over-under at when the next time they win a postseason game is?
Well, here's their big problem, too, Bramer's a division they're in.
Good division with other than Big Ben, though. A lot of young up-and-coming mm-hmm. QBs.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson was MVP. John Harbaugh's a terrific coach. Baltimore had a great draft. They're not going anywhere. Cleveland, if they can get their coaching situation right, they got Mayfield and Chubb and Garrett. They feel like they're moving. I mean, Pittsburgh's never going to stray far from the top. So I think since – I love Burrow, and I think he'll be really good there. I think it's a climb for them.
Do they win one in the next 3 years?
No.
Five?
Maybe.
Ooh. 1990 wild card. They beat Houston. That's the last time they won.
Not the Houston Texans, my.
That would be the Houston Oilers. The last touchdown scored by a Bengal in a playoff game that they won. They've been since, obviously.
Was it Icky Woods?
It was not Icky Woods. It was a guy named Eric Kattis.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a tight end.
Wow.
The Lions, it's been 28 years. Their last win was against Dallas, 91 NFC divisional playoff round. Now, their last touchdown that they scored in a playoff victory, that was Barry Sanders. So there's the one guy at least you've heard of. Yep. But the Lions have had Stafford now since what, 08?
Yeah, he was a rookie in 09.
09, yeah, because he was still here in 08. And they've been to the playoffs, but they still have not won another playoff game. So, I mean, where
they should have won one.
They should. They did have. They were cheated in Dallas that one time, yes.
I think they could. Yeah, the thing with Detroit, it's just the franchise, but it's not like every one of their teams has been awful. I mean, they've often been competitive.
Well, yeah, I mean, what they've been four times to the postseason with Stafford?
Yeah, I mean, that's
four or five?
Yeah, that's by no means great, but if you're talking about the percentages there, there's a lot worse for sure.
Well, all right, so do you see them? Keep in mind, their head coach is a mm-hmm. bearded backward hat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see them winning a playoff game in the next 3 years?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So their drought could end somewhere around three decades then, but you're forecasting the Bengals to carry on. The Bills did make the playoffs last year. 24 years, last win, 95 wild card. Of course, they beat the Dolphins for their last postseason victory. Their last touchdown scored in a playoff win was by a guy named Tim Tyndale.
So it wasn't Thurman Thomas or Andre Reed.
No, you know, because here's the deal. That game was a blowout.
Okay.
So they probably had, like, emptied the bench, and some guy named Tim Tyndale scored. Oh. I think it put him up, like, 33-7 or 40-7 or something like
Yikes. I think Buffalo's going right. So, yeah, I could see the Bills winning one here in the next two or three years.
All right. Clowns, we just talked about their last playoff win, 1994. Belichick defeats Parcells. They beat the
wow.
Patriots.
Wow.
And their last touchdown scored in a playoff victory was Leroy Horde.
Yeah, big back.
And
was he a Michigan guy? Is that right?
That sounds right, yeah.
Big fullback?
Yeah, he was a big running back, though. And then that brings us, last but not least, uh-huh. they did just draft Tua Tagovailoa. Now, keeping in mind, though, that Bama hadn't produced, like, an adequate NFL quarterback since Richard Todd. It's been 19 years since the Dolphins won a playoff game. The 2000 wild card that beat the Colts in overtime on a touchdown scored by Lamar Smith.
Wow. They also had a Lamar Miller after that.
They had a Lamar Miller. He went to Miami.
Right.
The U. They also had a touchdown scored in that game by some guy named Jed Weaver. But so the Dolphins, 19 seasons without a postseason victory. How much longer would one have to wait?
I think Miami gets a playoff win in 2022.
Okay, that's only three seasons, though.
I don't think it's going to happen this year. Now, if Tua does play some this year, I think they might could do it next year.
Okay.
But I like their draft. I think they're on the right track. And obviously this coach is pretty good since they won five games last year when, you know, early in the year. And again, Brandon, I just remember after that opener when, you know, we were texting that Sunday and I'm like, dude, they're not even covering up that they're tanking.
No, I think it was Kenyon Drake who they ended up trading
right.
to Arizona that – like he ducked, the ball was coming to him, and he didn't even put his arms in the air.
No, it was bad. But obviously here in Athens, we know firsthand how good Tua is, and I think they absolutely made the right move. Anybody's a roll of the dice. I get it with his injury situation, but you know what? Even if he comes in just and gives them a solid year. And let's just say he gets his feet wet this year in 2021, and then you feel like, okay, boy, we're really building for 2022. Because, I mean, it's been, you know, as you well know, I don't have to tell you, it's just been that revolving door. They haven't had that guy. And I think now at least as a Dolphins fan, you can look at this and say, okay, we've at least got this guy that we have a realistic hope of building our hopes and building our team around. You know, in the past, it's like, well, maybe Scott Mitchell will be good. Maybe Cleo Lemon will be good. You're hoping. But I think realistically, you've got a legitimate chance to have your guy at quarterback.
Yeah, now. They've got finally their franchise quarterback that they've been looking for since Marino retired.
And as you pointed out, I mean, had he not been hurt, he and Burrow would have been 1-2 in no particular order.
Yeah, I mean, I feel if Tua had played the whole year, then he might have still probably would have gone number one overall.
So, I mean, for him to fall to them at number five, I mean, it's a great get.
Yeah, Dan Marino, 1999, his last year. Since then, Fiedler, Feely, Ferrat, Harrington, Lemon, Pennington, Hennymoore, Tannehill, Cutler, and Fitzpatrick have been their leading passers.
And so in 2001, who was the quarterback when they won?
2001 was Fiedler. Okay. It was Jay Fiedler.
So, and that was a stop. I guess they won the division with Pennington, right?
Yeah. But Fiedler was there like 4 or 5 years. And then they had, I think it was A.J. Feely.
Yeah.
Then Gus Frerotte, then Sweet Harrington, guess. Cleo Lemon. Pennington was their quarterback in 2008 when they won the division that year Brady got hurt. And then they had Chad Henne.
I think Cleo Lemon might have been the low point.
Yeah. I believe he went to Arkansas State. He was dogged.
Yes.
He was on one of those teams that came here and lost. And then they had Matt Moore and then, of course, Tannehill. And then Cutler that one year when Tannehill got hurt and was going to decide when he might be available to come back since he, you know, was pre-med. And
he's a genius.
Yeah. And then last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So,
with Cleo Lemon, I remember one of the things too. Do you remember this when you were a kid? Like, if I was Saturday night up watching wrestling, there was Madam Cleo would come on TV at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's like, well, here's.
She would tell you your future.
That's right.
Read your fortune.
For like just $9.99 a minute.
Yep, that's all. all right, moving on to the 5 of 5. Jeff, a 60-game Major League Baseball season. It looks like it's done and headed our way. What is that going to look like?
I think you're going to have a really good team not make it, and you might have an average team get hot at the right point and make it. And as we've talked about, the teams with the big hosses at the top of the rotation, I think it's maximizing those starts. And, Bramer, how much luck is going to fall into this, too, when you're on the other side that you miss those guys? I never will forget what Coach McGill taught me at a young age. He said, you got to have four things to win a championship. Number one, you got to have the horses. Number two, you got to have a coach that does more good than harm. Number three, you got to have a lot of luck with things like injuries. And number four, it sure does help if the other guy has bad luck with things like injuries. And certainly missing aces, a lot of times that's just dumb luck.
Well, the two Eastern divisions having to play each other, it's for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It because you think the NL East last year, every team except the Marlins finished at least 500 because the Phillies ended up 81 and 81. And going back to yesterday, if last season had been a 60-game season, the Phillies would have won the National League East.
Correct. And that's hard to do when you talk about having 4 or 5 teams, when you consider the number of interdivision games going 500 or better.
Yeah. So, the Phillies, they've got Bryce Harper. They've got good pitching. I mean, they could have a good 60-game stretch, and they're definitely not just a pushover. The Mets is, much of a circus and a joke as they seem to be. I guess they're it's not the Nationals. Duh, we're just in the World Series last year. But prior to that, I guess the Mets were the most recent team from the division to make the World Series, and they finished over 500 last year. And then you got the Nationals and Braves that were both in the playoffs. The Yankees and Rays were both in the playoffs last season out of the East, and the Red Sox, they were still over 500. Now, Boston, though, had an offseason where they got rid of Price and then they got rid of Mookie Betts, that they looked like maybe they were, I guess, rebuilding. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason that a franchise like Boston started to feel like it needed to shed talent and move it on, and all those guys ended up with the Dodgers. But, even in a 60-game season, I wouldn't count them out. The Marlins, the Orioles, and probably Toronto were definitely going to be down at the bottom. But the other teams you're going to play for just about all your 60 games are quality.
Yeah, there could be some cannibalization there. And you might have, out of the, let's see, what, 10 teams make the playoffs? You might have, say, 5 of the 10 best teams in those divisions combined, but maybe only 3 of them make the playoffs just because they're playing each other.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the AL Central, you've got the Indians and the Twins, but you've also got the Tigers and the Royals that are two of the worst. So the Indians and Twins are going to get to play, 20 of their games. So a third of their games are going to be against the Royals and the Tigers.
And the White Sox aren't exactly...
Oh, I forgot about the White Sox, too. Yeah.
Now, the NL Central,
The White Sox do have the reigning American League batting champion, though.
Harold Baines.
Yes. Greg Luzinski, he was
the
there.
Bull.
Yeah, he was there for a while, wasn't he?
And then, and then you've got, let's see, in the West, obviously you'll have the Dodgers in the NL. The AL, that AL West is usually pretty darn balanced. Yeah, Oakland's always solid. The Angels, they got Trout.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Oakland is they've been a wild card team each of the last two seasons and have won mid to upper 90s in games. But in each of those last 2 years, after 60 games, they would not have made the postseason. So, Oakland's got to reverse it where they get off to a strong start instead of just. But that's the thing with that whole Billy Bean and what they do. They build a team that's designed for a 162-game marathon,
right?
Not just this condensed 60-game season.
Yeah, so this is going to be one of those things, as we've said a million times since everything went down back on March 11th and 12th, everything's going to look different in the world of sports. And I think for teams, like you said, Oakland, and the way they've built, it's impressive the regularity that they've had in the postseason. And it just might not fit for them this season. But then again, it might. I mean, you get a couple of guys get hot, anything can happen. But, I think kind of going back to the original point of having the East play in the East, Central play in the Central, West play in the West there, the advantage might be with those Central teams just because the bottom half of the AL Central is not good. So you might have a team from the Central that's not as good as a team or two from one of the Easts slide their way into the playoffs. Because way back when, Chris, when we were wee lads, strength of schedule wasn't an issue in baseball. It is now, and it certainly is this year.
Yeah, it will be for sure. And again, I think both of those Eastern divisions get I think they stack up tougher just based on last year's results than there are a couple more dogs in the Central, and then even with the West, you got the Rangers and you've got the Mariners. Although the Mariners have this recent kind of sketchy history of where they actually start out pretty well and then they eventually just end up with like 90-something losses. But the beginning of the year, they get off to these hot starts.
And I was even thinking with the East, my dad's got a friend who's a big Blue Jays fan. And, they at least, like if you're a Toronto fan, they got Bo Bichette, So they got Dante Bichette's kid, they got Vlad Guerrero Jr., and they got Craig Biggio's kid. So at least they've got some good young talent. They've got something to get excited about. So, you know, that might be one of those teams. I mean, the schedule will probably be too tough for them to make the playoffs. But, again, a short season, yeah, a couple of those guys get hot. Who knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at the Braves, depending on where you do your shopping for this kind of thing, you can find them at like 33.5 or 34.5. But so if the Braves were forecasted to win like 34 games, I guess that win percentage would basically equal out to like 91 or 92 wins in a 162 game season. So that's kind of like right where Atlanta has been. I guess the two that stand out then right at the top are where the Dodgers and the Yankees are, because in a 60 game season at like 38.5, that would be like 106 wins in a 162 game season. So that seems pretty strong even for them.
It really does, because 40 out of 60 is equivalent to 108 out of 162. So, yeah, back to you, 38 or 39, that's like 106 wins, like you just said. That's going to be hard to do. Even in a 60-game schedule, you're going to have at least a two- or three-game slide here and there.
I mean, well, and even again, for going back to the Yankees in the East, you've got to play the Braves, the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Mets, and then you're going to have to play, obviously, of course, the Red Sox and the Rays, who were pretty good. But now the Dodgers, the Dodgers are going to get to play the Rockies and the Padres and the Giants that weren't good. Really, that whole West was kind of bad. And then, I guess they'll have to face the Astros.
Right.
You know, and the Angels do have Trout, but
right.
They did get Anthony Rendon too.
Oh, that's true. So yeah, in the West, I just Houston's placement is still bizarre to me. It still doesn't, like when we were just when I was kind of running through the AOS, I'm like, I know I'm missing a team. Oh yeah, the cheaters that won the World Series 2 years ago or 3 years ago were in it again last year, but they used to be in the National League, and they also used to be in the National League Central. You know, they used to be in the National League West, but I just mentally have a hard time just going ahead and placing them in the AL West.
Well, and they'll avoid playing the Yankees during the regular season anyway, but the Dodgers will have an opportunity to get some revenge on them, I guess.
Yeah.
But the Yankees won't.
Yeah, but that, I'm telling you, that East versus East, that's rugged.
Yeah, I think that's those are definitely just based on last year, it's the two strongest.
And you said what, the Marlins have the lowest win total?
No, the Orioles and Tigers do. Then the Marlins and then the Royals. So there's two AL Central teams, then the Mariners and Giants. So there's two West teams. The Pirates are another Central team, then the Rockies, another West team. The Blue Jays, all right, so there's another in the East to go along with Baltimore and Miami, and then you got Texas. Those are all the teams with win projections below 30, so those are the ones you figure to be under 500.
But again, go back to the Braves, where they are, you would think 34, I would guess, would get you in. Like, if you're a big Braves fan right now and somebody's, all right, I'll give you 34 and 26 right now, I think you're in the playoffs with that.
Yeah, because, again, that would take, broaden that out to 162-game season. That would equal out to, like, 91 or 92 wins. Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, that's going to get you in.
Yeah, you should make the playoffs with 90 or more wins. And if you don't, then the playoffs haven't been expanded, because I guess the San Francisco Giants 1 year won over 100 games and did not make the playoffs.
They won 103 in 1993, and it was a pat on the back. Well, good season.
Yep.
Because the crime dog came to Atlanta that summer.
We'll see you next February. All right, that's the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a...
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.